The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Morning Drive here on a Tuesday morning. It's going to be warm over the next few days. Let's take a look at the forecast and see just how terrible it's going to be.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny in the morning, then partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tuesday night, a chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. Lows in the mid-60s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Looking at 60 degrees right now at our Federico Drive studios. 90% humidity already here on a Tuesday morning. Bob Heck here. We'll get to our guests in a minute. But first, the 4th of July parade is celebrating the generations this year. And Pittsfield Community Television is bringing you live coverage. Join us on July 4th, beginning at 9:30 in the morning for live parade coverage from South Street in Pittsfield. And you can watch live on PCTV Access Pittsfield Channel 1301, PCTV Select One, and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. Plus, it'll be like another 1,000 places. If I told you everywhere the parade was going to be broadcast, the show would be over. So I'm just going to say about those big three ones there. Live coverage of the 4th of July parade supported by Grilock Federal Credit Union, Berkshire Community College, Access Plus, and KJ Nosh Catering. And that's all you get this year is the parade. No fireworks. And of course, everybody's all angry about that, even though most years everyone's all angry about the fact that there are fireworks and the dogs are afraid of them. So we shall see. We shall see. Plus, there's fireworks in like a billion other places. I mean, it is the 4th of July. It's a Tuesday morning. Bob Heck in the studio live with our guests Beth Laro and Dennis Wixom. And Beth is doing the Run to Home Base this year. And when did you start doing this?
I started in 2015. I really just started as a lark. I kept seeing it advertised when I would watch the games on NESN. And it was like, there's a minimum fundraising limit. So you have to raise, at the time you had to raise $1,000. So I'm like, I can't raise $1,000. So I put it off and put it off. And then this one year, I got an email, and there was an early bird special for $250. And I'm like, well, I mean, if I don't raise that, I can cover it. So mm-hmm. I just pulled the trigger, signed up. My son Dan went down with me, and I just did it. And it's like, it's such an unbelievably moving experience that I just had to do it year after year. And it was like, I started as a lark because I wanted to cross home plate Fenway Park and run. I'm never going to be able to do a marathon. And I would watch mm-hmm. the Boston Marathon, have friends who would do it. And it's like, I'm never going to be able to do that, but I could run the streets of Boston for this. And so it started out that way.
And what is the run for home base?
It's the,
you know, talk about that in general for people. I mean, I'm familiar with it because I watch the games too, but
yeah.
For people who aren't familiar, what is it?
So Home Base is a program for veterans, service members, their families, and just recently, because I learn more and more about it every year, for first responders as well. And they have all at no cost to the participants. They provide clinical service for PTSD, traumatic brain injury, they have training, and so it's just really to help out because there's actually been 150,000 veteran suicides since 9/11, and so we want to put a stop to that. It's like 1 in 20 a day.
And you mentioned first responders as well, and, yeah. You know, a lot of people don't think of, you know, what police and firefighters the terrible things they see on a daily basis as well. I mean, everybody knows what the military goes through, yeah. but a lot of people don't think about the first responders. And, you know, it really wasn't until 9/11 where people started thinking about that.
Exactly.
And that's super important as well.
Yeah. And I started thinking about Tim Chagrou and his staff. I mean, mm-hmm. they've seen some pretty grisly scenes recently and probably even before I took notice. And so, you know, I mean, that weighs on you. And the sheriffs, you know, the sheriff department. So it really has an impact on their mental health. And so these programs, it's a condensed program into 2 weeks. You know, they pay for transportation. They pay for lodging for the family. And it really is such an incredible organization.
I didn't think of that either. You know, the district attorneys and the folks that, you know, a lot of times they show up on scene to,
yeah. mm-hmm.
to kind yes. of start gathering evidence. And
yeah.
if they're not on scene, they're seeing the pictures. And
oh, yeah.
Particularly nowadays where over the past few weeks, we've seen so much senseless bullcrap.
Yes.
Like it's... I didn't even think dawn on me that they could be going through something like that as well.
Exactly. And the there have, you know, unfortunately, we have experienced suicide in the ranks of the Sheriff's Department and PPD. And so I really would like them to know also that this is available to them. And it's an incredible organization and just wonderful people. The CEO I had come out to General Dynamics as a keynote speaker, Brigadier General, retired Brigadier mm-hmm. General Jack Hammond. He came out and he was supposed to come out and speak to the veterans organization that we have at General Dynamics. We have many events for the employees at General Dynamics. And unfortunately, because of weather, because it's in November, because of weather.
Nah, you never know in November.
Exactly. His plane got grounded. So, but he didn't just say, hey, my plane's grounded, I can't make it. And he's like, if we can do it online. And so he's like in Arizona trying to figure out his flights and to get home. And he hopped on a Zoom and, you know, gave a keynote speech about all of the services that they offer. So it's pretty amazing.
And we talked about the first time, you know, you saw an opportunity to run at it at the $250 level. What year was that?
2015.
So this is...
My 12th time this time.
And you've been doing it every year since then?
Every year. Well, I did take a year off from actually running in 2017. I was diagnosed with breast cancer, so... it was in the middle of treatment at the time, but I did still raise some money and, you know, sent it on along. And, you know, the really sweet thing is that my teammates at General Dynamics, they all wore pink ribbons during the run that year, which I thought was really
oh, wow.
sweet.
So you have teammates. It's not just you. You have a bunch of folks from General Dynamics that go down.
Yeah, so General Dynamics has fielded a team since 2015. I didn't even know in 2015 that they did it. I just kind of signed up and went. and so the General Dynamics team actually has raised altogether over the years over $600,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so we raise over $100,000 every year, and it's pretty remarkable. They're a lot of, most of them are out in East Boston, the teams Taunton and Dedham. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, we get a handful here in Pittsfield. I keep trying to talk it up, but it doesn't seem to land.
Yeah. I mean, running is still like,
exactly.
Get to cross home plate, it's running.
Exactly.
You know, I've always told people if you ever see me running, you better turn around and run too, because
yes.
I'm running from something.
Exactly. You're in danger somehow.
Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Something bad is happening behind me that I am running from.
Exactly.
So what is the course for the Run for Home Base? like you go through Boston, obviously we know where it finishes. What is the course itself like? Is it a 5K?
Well, there's a 5K walk and run, but there's also a 9K, which is just under 6 miles.
Oh, wow.
And I always choose, well, 1 year I did the 5K, but I always try to choose the 9K. I don't know if you remember the movie Good Will Hunting.
Yes.
So when my son Dan had a gym here, on the wall he had spray painted, choose the wrench. So it's like meaning choose the hard thing,
yes.
Do the hard thing. And so it's just because I know that the military service members are experiencing really difficult things. So, you know, I'm in a ponytail, tank top, shorts, you know, flitting around the streets of Boston, you know. And so if I have to do 6 miles instead of three, oh, well, you know. I get snack at the end.
Yeah. And, like, you don't realize, I mean, you do realize what they're going through, but you're not thinking about it on a daily basis.
No, right.
In a sense that, like, you know, I get angry if, like, the TV, the Spectrum app slows down while I'm trying to watch the stupid World Cup.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just
it's lagging.
This sucks. This is the worst thing ever.
That's right.
And like, there are people halfway around the world that are Americans that are going through, like, I couldn't last 10 minutes doing what they do.
No.
What do you mean I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning? And
six.
And, am I being generous?
Yeah, you're being way generous. Four, three. Yeah.
Do you have a connection to the military?
I do. My son, Dan, is actually, he's a Green Beret medic right now.
Oh, wow. Is he still local at the moment, or is he?
He's, as far as I know, when you're a Green Beret, you're not allowed to really say. And actually, I'm not even supposed to say he's Green Beret, but, you know.
Yeah, nobody's listening anyway.
I can't help it. I have to brag because I'm very proud of him.
So, I mean, speaking of local, you know, there's sometimes fear that, you know, your money that you donate here is going to Boston and it's staying in Boston. Not that there's wrong with that, but we're a community where there's always a lot of fundraisers going on, and a lot of that money stays local. Does any of the money for something like this stay local?
Well, it's not that it stays local. It's just that anyone in Berkshire County, anyone across the nation, any veterans, current service member, any family member, and like I said, first responder. So say the PPD wanted to get a group together and go through this training, they would be able to. And it's, again, all at no cost to them.
So it's not that it's anybody that can use the money. Is there outreach with PPD and some of the local police departments that this is available?
You mean if I? Well, I mean that's kind
not
of like
you personally,
next,
but
yeah,
like
there isn't. But that's like next on my list. Like I already spoke to Sheriff Bowler and told him all about it. And I mentioned Tim Shagrew on another interview. And so, you know, it's like my next motive is to contact them and let them know. And I contacted Home Bay specifically just to say, this is available to these people, right? Because I'm advertising it. And, you know, they sent me this big, long email telling me all about all the things that are available. There's even trainings, like online trainings that you can do.
It's been her mission, her most recent mission, to make sure that people around here are taken care of as well, and that they know that this is available to them. So she's kind of made it, put it on her shoulders and run with it. So,
yeah.
And that's always the toughest part with something like this. So like, you just assume people know and, you know, they don't.
No.
And so, you know, getting the message out there. We're at 7:44 right now. We're with Beth Laro and Dennis Wixom on the run. They're doing Beth's doing the run to home base. Dennis is observing a casual.
I carry her water.
Okay.
I help with the fundraising and then, you know, do things like that. Obviously, I'm there to support her. I get actually a chance when she's out running to talk to, 1 year I got to talk to gentleman, young man, who went through the program. He was the keynote speaker. Every year there's a keynote speaker along with all the other dignitaries that are there. And that keynote speaker is always someone who went through the two-week program. And just the most moving time I can remember in recent history. And he actually asked me I went out to get a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And, was sitting in one of the picnic benches out there. And the young man came up and said, "Can I sit here?" And I said, "Absolutely." And we probably talked for 15 or 20 minutes. And, I mean, almost brought me to tears. And you would think, looking at this guy in the military, big, strong, handsome, well-spoken young man, and for him to tell me his story of what he went through before he went through the program and then going through the program and the success of the program was just, I was just so moved by it that, you know, it's an honor and a privilege for me to even go there and watch this and listen to these people talk. So it really is a wonderful thing.
And, you know, the other edge of the coin on that, you know, particularly with military, police, fire, you know, there's this sort of macho-ism within that, and, you know, there's still, and it's slowly eroding away, but there's still that stigma that you're weak if you get help.
And, absolutely.
You know, that's probably the worst part of the whole thing.
Absolutely. That and he did mention that in his conversation. Actually, we also spoke to a keynote speaker probably the following year, a couple of years later, a young lady. There was one year where I can't remember what her position was in the military, but she and her husband, we got a chance to talk to them, and same thing. It's even though more, you know, it's more male pride, I guess you would say, but everybody has that stigma where it's like, well, I don't want to admit that I have a problem. And once they overcome that and get in this program, I mean, it's, you know, they're happy that they did it. So it's one of the things that we try to focus on too is like, hey, everybody's got something. So, you know, join this program. This is good for you. And, you know, this will definitely help you.
And that's another great point. You know, speaking of women, it must be worse for them to seek help because, you know, you get the, well, we told you she couldn't hack it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Just
imagine it's far worse for a woman to seek help in those professions.
Absolutely.
Right. And just in talking to Dan going through his training, it's like, you know, if you hurt yourself, if you have a blister, it's like you don't dare say anything.
Of course.
You don't dare say anything because you'll be held back, you'll be, you know, chastised. And so that's their training. And, you know, I suppose it's necessary in a way because they do have to endure while they continue on their mission. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they can't, you know, their foot hurts, they have to keep going because their life and the lives of their fellow soldiers, it matter, you know, so you just have to keep going. So it is inbred and it's training, and a lot of, you know, it takes a lot to undo that. And there's a course too that I was reading about that is like reintegrating back home, because that's probably, again, one of the hardest parts is like you're high energy, high level, high stress, high anxiety, go, you know, and then you come home and, you know what, I'm going to do the dishes. I mean, it's like, who cares about the dishes?
Right.
You know, it's like, and, you know, meanwhile, your family members, you know, I think a lot of people also forget that family members, while you're serving, your family's serving. And, you know, obviously, I did not experience, you know, a millionth of what Dan experienced, but I've been worried about him ever since he joined, and I've heard about all of the things that he's had to do, and, you know, and some of the training is grueling, and when he gets deployed, and I can't know where he's going, I can't know when he's going, I can't know when he's coming back, and so, and that's what service member families go through as well, and so, you know, it's this kind of thing is available to them as well. And then, you know, they get their service member back, and they're all excited because they've been living life, and they just want him to come back. And it's an adjustment. It's adjustment for the family to work him back into the routines, and it's adjustment for him to, you know, care about the lawn and the dishes and, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
Which while you're in, all you want to do is come home. But then when you come home, it's almost like you don't belong. So
yeah, and it's interesting on a couple of points. I mean, first off, you know, with this and, you know, just everything, you know, cancer and things like that, all the focus, as it should be, as much focus as possible, should be on the person going through cancer,
yes,
or the person reintegrating back into society.
Yeah.
But you forget about the families,
right,
that, you know, have to give up a lot to be a part of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that they have a program like this. You know, they realize, you know, the families are going through it too.
Yeah.
And they have a program for something like that. And yeah, I just think that's super important.
I mean, it really is, because, you know, for many years, I don't think we even talked about mental health. And,
right,
you know, I always wonder about my dad, who saw some awesome, awful things in World War II. And, you know, those men came back and, you know, I think that the lucky ones just were able to go on with life. I think that there was, you know, there was alcoholism, though. And mm-hmm. I think that we just brushed it off as, you know, oh, he's just an alcoholic. But it could have exactly been the exact same thing, PTSD from everything that they saw. And, you know, so I just think it's really important to let people know that the help is there. They're not alone. And it's okay to ask for help.
Well, not only that, I mean, those World War II veterans came back as heroes.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
But with more recent wars, those veterans are coming back, you know, particularly after Vietnam.
Like, yeah.
Some of them came back as villains.
Yes.
You know, and you go through something that hard anyways, and then you come back and you got to deal with what you're dealing with here. And that just seems unfathomable to me.
Right. Yeah. You come back and you're shunned.
Right.
By the very population that you were suffering
exactly.
for in war. You know, yeah. Your life, you almost lost your life to serve your country. And then to come back and be shunned. Yeah, that's a special kind of trauma.
And I mean, I think largely as a country, and I don't know as much about this, so I might be speaking out of turn, but I think we've done a crappy job reintegrating veterans and showing them that we care as a country at the national level, and, you know, sort of helping people through, particularly like, you know, World War II. I think they did a good job. But like more recently, like, is there help out there?
Yeah.
Beyond this, like,
right.
You come back home and it's like, oh, thanks. And then you're on your own.
Well, I think this particular program, I think, is the spearhead of that mm-hmm. movement to improve that relationship and to do better. And that's what I feel like is, like you were saying, I mean, you know, you come back and, well, I did, you know, I was over there sleeping with my one eye open every night because you never know what's going to happen. And
right.
I come back here and people go like, oh, you did a bad thing. It's like, no, I didn't. I was, you know, fighting for you. And so I think this program is a very important part of, like I said, spearheading the movement to say, no, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. We understand. So,
right.
I mean, it helps you reintegrate into society. And I'm sure it helps your relationships with not just your family, but other individuals. So, you know, I mean, you have to go back to a job too.
Sometimes. Right. And you got to hold that job.
And you got to, right. And you got to be there and you got to be consistent. And, right. So I think that's why it's so important, you know, that this amazing person right here runs through, and live Facebooks through the half the thing and interviews people along the way. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She does all, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
She walks up to strangers with her phone and goes, hey, how's it going?
Right. Yeah. There are actually service members in full ruck carrying a flag on, you know, in on the streets of Boston in July. So, you know, here I am going, oh, this is terrible. I hate it. But, you know, I'm like I said, in shorts and a ponytail. So, you know, I don't have anything to complain about. but I do, I'd like to, you know, it might be a little bit of taking a break from the running, maybe partially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I like to interview people. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. No. But I also, I do that because, again, I'm, you know, when I am trying to fundraise, the people can't connect the dots. It's like why I'm looking for money, why they should be interested. And so I also bring people along on the run with me. And I run along the Charles River on a beautiful, sunny day in Boston.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah, true. I actually have never, in all the years I've done it, it's never been raining.
Okay.
Okay.
So don't jinx it. What
are
you doing?
There it is.
You said it out loud.
Yeah. And what date is the run?
July 25th,
all right.
Saturday.
All right, folks, mark your calendars for July 25th. It's going to rain like hell that day. You've heard
only
it here
Boston.
First here on WTBR.
That's so. Right.
Only in Boston.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, if there's thunder and lightning, we can't run in that. So, I mean, we raised the money.
Right, the money's there already.
So. Oh, you sound so disappointed about that.
That's right.
You're listening to 89.7 WTBR. It is Morning Drive. Bob Heck here with Beth Alaro and Dennis Wicks. And more on the Run to Home Base coming up on the other side of the break here on WTBR. Good morning.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates, welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Join us at the Pittsfield Farmers Market. Meet your local farmers, artisans, friends, and neighbors. Enjoy the bounty of the Berkshires at a market that's accessible to all shoppers. With live music, chef demos, and family-friendly activities, the Pittsfield Farmers Market is more than a place to shop. Join us each Saturday, May 10th through October 11th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Pittsfield Common.
Join Peter and Jessica to relive the magic of Beatlemania every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. for 5 decades to Fab Four, where Together or On Their Own has changed the world of music. Tune in to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back here on Morning Drive. here on a Tuesday morning. Bob Heck here with you. Before we get to the forecast, another reminder, the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade is celebrating the generations this year, and PCTV is bringing you live coverage. Join us on July 4th, which just sort of snuck up on us. It's coming up on Saturday. Beginning at 9:30 for live parade coverage from South Street in Pittsfield. You can watch live on PCTV Access Pittsfield, channel 1301 on your cable box. PCTV Select One on the app and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. Live coverage of the 4th of July Parade is supported by Greylock Federal Credit Union, Boys and Girls Club of the Berkshires, Hudpucker's Pub and Grill, and Beacon Bank. Certainly want to thank all of our sponsors for that. And we'll take a quick look at the weather before we continue on.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny in the morning, then partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tuesday night, a chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. Lows in the mid-60s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
It is going to be hot. 60 right now at our Federico Drive studios. You could see some potentially severe weather this afternoon, but that's more of going to be a north and west of Pittsfield thing. But you never know. The forecasters can't get things right 90% of the time. Anyway, so you just don't know. We're here with Beth Larrow and Dennis Wixom. Beth is running the Run to Home Base this year. And, you know, we did a half hour about everything except for how do people get you money.
Very true.
So how do they give you money to support? And I know it's a little more complicated with QR codes and things like that. But do the best you can.
Yeah, so... the the actual website is is complicated, but if you just Google runtohomebase.org and then search my name, then you'll be able to find my page to support me. I'm also on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and I've opened up my pages to be public, so that I open it up to be public during this fundraising time. So if you search for me, then I've got hundreds of posts on there about donating to me. It's like I try to do it at least once a week just to remind people.
And if somebody would like to donate, can't leave their house, or you know, they just happen to have some cash laying around, I also pick up.
Yes.
So I will go to your house and pick up any kind of cash, any check, any kind of donation that you would like to give. I'd be happy to pick that up and make sure that Beth gets that and it gets into the system.
Yeah. Yeah, and with cash donations, because a lot of people are like, you know, they're giving me cash. How do they know where that goes? But I automatically put it into my page, and then I take a snapshot showing that I put it in under their name, and then I send them a text message showing that it went to my page. That's, you know, it was donated to the cause, not in my pocket.
Yeah, and I would imagine that this is all tax deductible as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Dennis has been just such a great, he's really great at fundraising. I struggle with asking for money. It's really not my forte. For some reason, I'm not as timid about it with this. I mean, I just feel really passionate about it. And I started in 2015. My son didn't join the Army until 2020. So it's like now it's even more crucial for me. Mm-hmm. I always say that I hope he never needs it, but I'm really comforted to know it's there in case he does. But Dennis has been with me every other year that I've gone. Dan was with me on the first year. Like I said, he holds my water and
rough job.
Fundraising isn't difficult for me. I started when I was a kid asking my father for money. So
that's where I got my start too, you know.
Yeah. So we did a standout at Stop and Shop. So that was nice. A lot of people would, you know, I could say some people were giving me four quarters. It's like they're giving me like they don't have a lot and they're still mm-hmm. giving me something, giving me what they can. We go to Callahan Karaoke at the VFW in Dalton regularly. That's our friends. And I thought to myself, well, you know, maybe I should. I made little tent cards with my flyer on one side and my QR code on the other. And I'm like, see if we can get some donations out of these people. And, you know, so the bartender was really kind and let me put them out all around the bar and on the tables. And Dennis, of course, not shy about it at all, talked about it when mm-hmm. it was his turn to get up and sing. He mentioned it on the microphone and then went so far as to walk around and talk to people.
Yeah, walk up to the bar, a couple guys, you know, people sitting at the bar having a beer, you know, and the tent card's right in front of them, but they're not paying attention. They're having a conversation, right? And so I would point it out to them, and one gentleman said, oh, yeah, I'd love to donate, and he picked up the card, and he scanned it with his phone, and less than 5 minutes later, she had a notification on her phone that she had a $300 donation. So
that's amazing.
Yes.
Just wonderful. And, you know, I don't want to say his name because he's already sick of all the praise I heaped on him that night.
Right.
You know, he just did it out of the goodness of his heart. He has a successful, I believe, landscaping business.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm just moved to do things like that. And you know, this community, we've experienced a lot in this community, and this community is very generous. They really are. And I'm not saying that just to butter you up so you'll send more money, but if it helps. You know, Pittsfield's always been, and Berkshire County, they've always been great. And, we really enjoy it. And, yes, like I said, I'm not shy about asking for your money for a good cause like this, for yes. sure.
Right.
For sure, so. You know, I hit you up for other things. So.
Of course. 806, yes. We're here with Beth Larrow, Dennis Wicks. I'm talking about the run to home base. How challenging is it to, like, sort of describe what, I mean, we're 36 minutes into this show, and I don't think we've covered all of it.
No.
You know, how tough is it to describe, what am I, giving money to the military? No, you're not giving money to the military, you're giving money. What is this thing for? I mean,
yes.
is it hard to describe why the money is needed and, you know what I mean?
Yes, it is. It's very hard to describe. That's why I bring this folder full of papers with, like, different details, because even, I think that, why it hit me because I was there in the stands and I was listening to the, like Dennis said, this young man, I mean, over 6 feet tall, looks like a linebacker, you know, on a football team. And I mean, just the handsomest young man. And like Dennis said, well-spoken. And, you know, he told his mother that he no longer wanted to live. I mean, that just, I mean, went straight to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no mother, no service member or person should feel that way. And no mother wants to hear that. And so she encouraged him. They found this home base and he went through it. And he, you know, it's like it's a story of despair turned into a story of hope. And so, you know, he's living a healthy, productive life now.
Yes.
Because he went through this program, and that's what really strikes to my heart, is that I want people to understand that it's, you know, these are sons and daughters and husbands and wives, and they're struggling, and they're struggling in silence, and, you know, the only thing that they feel will help is to stop the pain, is to stop it permanently. And mm-hmm. we just don't, you know, we want them to know that there's help there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and to go past, even past the service members. So that's why I started bringing up, you know, as I was researching more about what they do, so that I could raise money more effectively by describing their mission and finding out about how much they do for... I'm reading through my notes here, and I forgot to say healthcare workers as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another one you don't even really think of
yeah.
as people who, you know, really go through it.
They do.
Particularly
every day.
like during COVID,
sure,
where it was even worse, but just stuff like,
yeah,
because you know, we talked about the senseless bull crap that's been going on around here, you know, the police and fire have to deal with it, from one aspect, even like a car accident, you know, police, fire, EMTs, then they get transported to the hospital, you know, somebody's going to tell the family what happened, and it's just like, it all sounds miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
And daily. I mean, daily.
Yeah.
It just hammers you. I mean, it's got to be. I just don't know how people do it. I really don't. So.
Right.
And they definitely, this would definitely help them. So, definitely would help them. So.
I don't know if you know this, but if people are listening right now that are a first responder, healthcare worker, or something like that, and they're thinking they need to look into a program like that, is there somewhere where people can get information on how they can, you know, get into this, or?
Yeah, so if anybody's interested, and even if you just want to learn, you know, you're not in need, but you want to learn about what I'm talking about, because I'm not that eloquent about it, maybe, just it's homebase.org. And there's going to be stories, and there's a section, Stories of Hope. And so you can see the videos of people talking about what they went through, what they felt, and their recovery. And they can find out what's available to other people. Like, there's just online training. So if, you know, a healthcare worker wanted to go on and take this online training, they can just click on it and go through it. And then if they needed more, then they can reach out to the clinicians and, you know, put in an official request. But if you just go to homebase.org and read about their mission, read about how it started by, I'm blanking on the owner of the Red Sox. Of course, you're going to know.
John Henry.
And there's another guy, Tom
Warner. No.
Yeah.
Tom Warner.
So they went to, after their World Series win, they went to Walter Reed and just were frankly disgusted, I think, at the condition. And again, to your point, that we don't take that great care of our veterans. And so then they started talking. And so through the Red Sox Foundation, Mass General Hospital, and then military contacts, they formed this home base, and it's grown. There's satellite clinics, I guess, in Florida, Arizona. That's why Brigadier General Hammond was in Arizona speaking, you know, out there. And it's just growing and getting the help out to as many people as we can.
You know, you're really putting me in an awkward spot because I usually when we bring up John Henry and Tom Warner, especially over the past 6 months or so.
Maybe that's why I forgot his name.
Yeah, there's usually a string of expletives that come out of my mouth in response. But now I'm in a position where it's like, wow, good on them. They did great.
They did something great in 2000.
They didn't sign Alex Bregman, but they did this.
I know.
Okay,
exactly.
Sorry. I'm good. It also helps that they've won 5 straight, too.
Yeah, right. Well, exactly. 5 straight out of however many they've lost. But it's turning around. We still have a chance.
Okay, yeah. We still have a chance.
We have a chance, right?
You're saying this.
So, what is the path onto the Fenway Park field? How do you enter to run, finish that run to the home base?
The first thing we do is at 7. It used to be 7. I think they changed it to 8.
Yeah,
They changed it to 8.
Okay.
So we just file in and we sit in the stands, and there's an hour long ceremony, which is where you have lots of different speakers. You know, General Hammond speaks. I think it's Tom Warner currently that speaks. And
TC is the MC.
Right. I was going to say so he's the MC, which is great. And then the keynote speaker. And then at the end of that, the culmination is TC says, because TC runs as well. So he says, you know, we've raised the money. we could all just go have breakfast. You know, if everybody agrees right now, let's just go have breakfast. And of course, nobody agrees. And so he's like, all right, I guess.
Well, I think some people would agree with him.
Yeah. Yes. But we don't get 100%. So I'm sitting there going, I could go for breakfast. and then he leaves the stage, actually, because I think that they, you know, their contingent gets to start and run because, mm-hmm. you know, they have other duties. They've got to get ready for a game.
Right.
And so they leave the stage, and then they have usually one person who calls our numbers. And, you know, there's different, like the 5K run and the 5K walk and then the 9K. And so everybody's supposed to wait their turn. Of course, nobody does.
Sounds about right. It's like a buffet at a wedding,
yeah.
You know?
Absolutely, yeah. So everybody just starts heading down. The ladies' room is packed because, you know, everybody has to make their stop beforehand. And then you just follow the crowd out to the street. It used to be Aki Way. It's not anymore, right?
No.
No. So just wait your turn, and they've got a DJ hyping everybody up, and then, you know, I do a few stretches and I walk until I get to that line that where they start timing me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else starts running way back. I'm like, I'm not running yet.
Yeah, why would you do that?
It's like, why do I want to start running
spending
already?
Spending extra energy.
So, and then just away we go, and round the corner, over the bridge. Turn right onto along the Charles River. I think it's right, and follow the crowd. Unfortunately, you know, because I am getting older,
mm-hmm.
I used to be able to do it in an hour, and which I, you know, was always disappointed in that. But it took me an hour and a half last year, and they had opened the streets already, and you know, it's like, well, they can only keep them closed, I guess,
right.
for an hour. And so I actually got lost, went down a side street, and I'm like, I don't think this is the right way. And so I ran extra, and but found my way back. But then the greatest part is, I mean, there's all great parts, but one of the greatest parts is coming. You come out of the tunnel and in the outfield, and then walk along by the Green Monster, and then stand in a line in the heat. Waiting for your turn.
Oh, okay.
You cross you cross the finish line, and then because they want to be able to take your picture.
Right.
And so one by one, you stand on the home plate and have your picture taken.
Now, when you say the tunnel, are you coming through the bleacher bar in center field, or?
It might be. It's like, I'm not sure exactly. It's right to the right of the Green Monster.
It's center field.
Is it center field? Okay.
Yeah, that little garage.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's the bleacher bar.
Oh, okay.
It's, fun fact for those
who... I know, I want to go to that sometime.
We keep passing by that.
We keep trying, but it's always packed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to get in.
It's always packed. You got to get there early.
By the way, yeah. Just so everybody knows, even though she got lost, your money still counts.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Whether I do it in an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you got lost. Boston's such an easy city to navigate.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness.
And so what I do is when they close the door in center field, I give it like a half an hour. And if I don't hear from her, you know, then I call the police.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's longer than a half an hour.
My goal is not to finish it in an ambulance, you know, being taken to because I'm overheated or something.
She finished, what, third in your age group? Was that?
Yeah, you know, the old broad age group. There's not many of us.
There was four of them. She finished third.
All right. Well, hey, you beat somebody,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I'm not last.
But it doesn't matter where you finish. I mean, it's all about
the
fundraising.
No, it doesn't. It's all about the fundraising and the fun.
Mm-hmm.
And really the camaraderie of that, being in that crowd. I mean, it's electric. It really is. Once you get out to start the run, and it's like everybody's excited. And of course, the real runners are doing their formal stretches. You know, I've got a few things that Dan taught me to do, and so, you know, I'll do those. And then away we go, and it's just, everybody's just fun, having fun. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's another reason for me to video, is just to show mm-hmm. the fun that we're having.
And another thing that's sort of remarkable about the whole thing is, You didn't really get started until the early bird special,
yes,
where you only had to raise $250 to,
yes,
get in. And then just like that, you got a $300 donation recently.
Yes.
So
yeah,
how have you seen it uptick throughout the years?
I've started being really happy. Well, I mean, with the General Dynamics team, I think the minimum was like 600,
mm-hmm,
and they'll help, you know, the team members will help each other. And so I was really happy to get, you know, up to 600, 800. And then one year I got 1,000. And this year my goal is 5,000, and I'm at 4,015. So I'm really,
wow,
I really want to make it to 5,000 this year.
That was pretty awesome when, you know, 250. I don't know if I can do the 250, but I'll try.
Yes.
And now you're over 4,000.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yeah. Yeah, I started reaching out to, well, as I said, we hold the, during Veterans Day week, that week, mm-hmm, we hold events for the veterans at General Dynamics. And I started bringing in organizations like the VFW, American Legion, all of the veterans organizations to come in and to tell them that what they're about. And so that the veterans can join the Legion or get help from the veteran service organization. And so got talking to them, and that's how I got the significant donations from both of them, the Legion and the VFW. And then I started reaching out to other organizations, like, you know, Sheriff's Department,
yeah,
PPD, just trying to encourage, or, you know, because an organization can give me larger amounts. I'm able to get some money from General Dynamics on my behalf. You know, they give a certain amount per donation money per employee, so I can get money from them. And so I started to try to get some larger donations, mm-hmm, as I went along, and that helped. And then, but, you know, $5 helps.
So yeah,
like I said, the person at the grocery store gave me 4 quarters, and I'm like, I'm as grateful for that as I am for the $500 check. So
yeah, and that's the thing with, you know, fundraising in general. I mean, you ask, I know here at WTBR and PCTV, you know, we're a nonprofit organization,
yes,
just trying to keep the lights on.
Yes.
And, you know, when we do our radiothon, it's like something that's meaningful to you. And if,
yes,
that's $2 that is meaningful to you,
yes,
then that's fantastic. And we just appreciate the sentiment,
yep,
and, you know, even the 4 quarters means somebody cares enough,
yes,
right,
to make a donation, and that just means the world.
It didn't mean, it meant the world to me. You know, they gave it to me sheepishly. It's like, do you mind change? You know, it's like, and, you know, when they were coming out of the grocery store and that's all they had left, you know,
mm-hmm,
it's like they probably was their last 4 quarters, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say they gave you 4 quarters out of the 6 they had in their pocket after,
right,
being in a grocery store.
So. Right.
I mean, that's...
Which is like a theft anyways, walking into,
yeah,
a grocery store.
Seriously.
Nowadays.
It probably was, you know, not the greatest place to try to get money at the, mm-hmm, grocery store these days, but,
right,
yeah.
Absolutely. And it's great to see, when you were talking about, you know, how it's progressed, is her enthusiasm for this has also progressed,
yeah,
which is interestingly enough. I mean, you know, she started in 2015, and her desire, her drive... I mean, we do this basically, I mean, this is a year-round thing now. It's not just, oh, well, this is the time. I mean, obviously, we get more focused the closer the race,
yes,
gets. But she is on this all the time, thinking of ideas of how to raise money. Again, community involvement, you know, anything that she can do to help. And so it's become like part of her lifestyle. And, you know, that's a tribute to her, and she does a really, really great job with it. And the fact of the matter is, running in Boston in July is not an easy thing, and
no,
especially for someone who, you know, isn't a runner in general. So, you know, so it's It's just great to see the enthusiasm. And if you went, and again, I said this to you before, it's hard to describe on the radio, but the atmosphere, everything contributes to it. And if you ever got to go and you at least sit in the, and you can just walk in and sit in the stands mm-hmm. if you want to, you would be so moved and you would understand. And now that, you know, she has mentioned she has a son in the military, I mean, she's just over the top. Go, go, go on this. So it's, you know, and we need more people to raise funds like that. So,
yeah. And real quick, we got a couple of minutes left. How do people get your money again? And when do you have to have it in by? I know it's a complicated process to
yes.
tell you how to get the money, but.
Yes. So Google runtohomebase.org and then my name, Beth, B-E-T-H, Laro, L-A-R-R-O-W, will bring you to my page. And then there's, you know, links there to click on. And, you know, it's more information about the program at homebase.org, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have to have it in by July 10th. Well, I can probably have it in by July 17th, but the deadline for certain things is July 10th.
Yes, you have that first deadline,
yes.
and then you have the come to Jesus deadline,
yes,
which
exactly.
is the actual deadline.
Yeah.
We all know how that works.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Beth Laro, Dennis Wixom, Run to Home Base, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us on.
Absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank
Great
you,
to
Beth.
See the both of you again.
Me
and
too.
Yeah, that's the show. Stay cool out there today. And yeah, that's that. That's all I got to say. Because we got the heat dome moving in, whatever the hell that means. I mean, they're just making up words. And I've been around for 46 years. I never heard of a heat dome till like 2 years ago.
Or a snow tornado. What was that? What were they calling that?
Polar vortex.
Yeah, right.
What the hell's a polar vortex? It's just going to be cold.
Right.
I don't know, but I could use one right now.
Yeah.
A polar vortex. Well, yeah, you work on roofs, so this is probably not the ideal time for you.
No.
Well, thanks for tuning in this morning. Enjoy the weather over the next few days, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in.